Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for holding. Welcome to the Mellus conference call to release results referring to the third quarter 2020. We have with us today Mr. Israel Salming, the CEO and founder, Mr. Marais, once again founder and president, Lucas Marques, operations director, Andrea Amaral, strategy director, and Luciano Vale, the IR officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company presentation. Ensuing this, we will go on to the question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance during the conference, please press star zero to reach the operator. This event is also being simultaneously translated via webcast and can be accessed at the address ri.mellus.com.br, where the respective presentation is also available. Once again, you can flip through the slides at your own convenience. The replay of this event will be available soon after closing. We would like to remind the webcast participants that through the website, they can post their questions to the company. These will be responded at the end of the conference by the IR team. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during this conference referring to business goals, operational and financial outlooks are based on the premises and assumptions of the company management, as well as on information currently available to the company. These forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, assumptions as they refer to future events and depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that general conditions, sectoral conditions, and other factors could impact the future results of the company and affect what has been expressed in this future looking statements. We would now like to give the floor to Israel, the company founder and CEO, for the presentation. Thank you and a good day to all of you. It is an indescribable pleasure to be able to hold this very first call less than 2 weeks after our IPO. I had that positive anxiety to speak more broadly about the company to more people after the roadshow. Therefore, we're deeply happy with this moment to be able to convey information to you. And of course, these calls will be very important. They're highly educational because we have new technology that few people are aware of. And therefore, we will attempt to be as didactic as possible. Thank you all for your presence. Before we begin speaking about Mellus, I think it's important to speak about how we got here and the feeling that we have after the IPO. I began to be an entrepreneur very young. I am now 32 years old. I did some odd jobs for third parties. I created digital work when I still lived in Valadares, where my family lives. And this was a very important moment. It's when I began to learn and became passionate for entrepreneurship. that feeling of executing, of facing up to challenges and delivering results, and of always being unsatisfied and running after what we truly believe and constantly motivating our team. It was a marvelous feeling that we have conveyed to our entire team during these years. But what I would like to share with you is the following. When we founded Melius in 2011, we were extremely motivated. We wanted to make things happen. As myself, Flea is also an entrepreneur, has been for many years. And at that time, we didn't have some very important factors to put in place our dream. Literally, a feeling of day one with some relevant differences, of course, with the IPO. Firstly, when we began in 2011, we did not have the incredible and highly trained team in more than one city, in Belo Horizonte, Manaus, and other of our centers throughout Brazil. We handpick the people who truly believe in our values, share our culture. We also have a team of very compromised partners because very early on, we learned that we would not be able to build anything alone. We had to be surrounded not only by the best employees, but also the best partners. And when we began in 2011, we did not have quality technology. We began in a simple and humble way with a very strong will. 10 years later, with this business, we can say that we have had a fantastic evolution. Besides the partners and the teams, we have a proprietary technology. Our partners in Manaus say that we cook what we buy. This is our core business, technology. Therefore, it has been more than 10 years of experience in this segment, and we feel extremely comfortable that we know every single corner of our business. We know the dynamic of international players. And above that, throughout these last 10 years, we have tried to build an efficient company to have a business that will extend into longevity. The business has to be win-win-win. It has to be good for partners, for users, but for the company and for shareholders. Therefore, throughout the 10 years, we had a business that was growing fast, but always with an eye on efficiency, on margins, to do something that could be proved in the long run. And I think that the IPO is a testimony of our struggle for these last 10 years. We now begin this new moment, and differently from 2011, we now have a company, a team, everybody willing to make things happen. And we're also highly capitalized, which enables us to run after our challenges. It is day one for us. We will go on to slide number one on the impact of COVID on our business. Initially, I would like to reinforce some points relating to our team. Pre-pandemic, we were already testing the remote work that we had implemented for half of our team. This was so important because when we had remote work for 100% of the team was aware of how this would work, and perhaps we were more prepared than the great majority of the companies. We also provided support, delivering the necessary equipment for work, ergonomic items, reimbursing furniture costs, as well as internet and energy bills. We carried out lectures and initiatives on emotional well-being and mental health. The moment demanded this, and we continue to do this. We trained our leadership on this topic, and we have open conversations with the entire team. Our culture is one of a large family, an open team, open to everybody. Additionally, we tried to reinforce how necessary it was to prevent the disease. We enhanced health insurance coverage and services in telemedicine. We have been following up in a constant way on the number of confirmed cases. Therefore, to ensure the safety, health, and well-being of our team and their families, we do exchange opinions. We carry out surveys, not only with the team, but with some market companies that we admire, and all of our decisions are based on best practices. To speak about the market and how COVID impacted our business from the marketplace partners' perspective, travel and tourism were strongly impacted for the entire market. We had a reduction in sales and in commission volumes. Further ahead, we will share with you a graph and the resumption during the last few quarters. At the end of the third quarter, we began to observe a resumption of the travel and tourism segment. We think there is still some space for resumption, and our hope is that the resumption will be as quick as possible. This is a sector that had enormous growth and has the opportunity of growing a great deal in the coming quarters and years. We have partnership with brick-and-mortar stores as well, and several of these partnerships were suspended because of the impacts of the pandemic. Of course, the revenues were also impacted. The last relevant point is that some of our partner stores in e-commerce, the marketplace stores, were also impacted by the pandemic, especially during the initial months. What happened was that several of them did not have visibility or how to get through the crisis. Some stores took their foot off the accelerator there, in terms of advertising, decreased contact with users, and some faced logistics and operational problems because of the sudden demand that came about after the first or second months of the pandemic. I think these are relevant points that will help us sail through this presentation. We go on to the slide where we show you the highlights of the third quarter. At the beginning of the year, we had a kickoff with a team. It was a face-to-face event where we brought together the entire team to speak about our goal for the year and what we were seeking. The main goal for the year was EBITDA, and we trained and educated 100% of our team in terms of what improves an EBITDA, what makes an EBITDA get worse. And we did all of these educational activities because we wanted our team to focus in the year 2020 on efficiency. This was a very good decision. We did know it was a different year for everybody, and we took the right decision. But this is the year where we focus on operational efficiency, on EBITDA in the middle of a pandemic. Our team is doing incredible work, as you can see in the figures on the screen. The number of new accounts opened 2.66 times higher than the average of the last four quarters, as well as the number of active users that is growing in an exponential fashion. We have attained 3.6 million active users, considering the third quarter 20 in a growth year on year. If we include the third quarter of 2019 and compare it with that of the year 20, a growth of 80%. The marketplace closed with a GMV of 2.2 billion in the last quarter, in the last 12 months, he corrects himself. And if we compare the GMV of the last 12 months for the previous period, the growth is 54%. Once again, a very expressive figure. We're very happy and we're surpassing our goals for this year. Regarding the marketplace for GMV, we're going to repeat this often during the presentation. It's important to make an educational report remark. There is a mismatch of our revenue with GMV. The GMV in a quarter and the revenue for that quarter is written up for the coming semester. And it's always good for analysts, investors, and others to take this into account where you analyze our results. For example, the revenues of the third quarter, referring to the marketplace, the third quarter 2020, generally reflects the GMV of the second quarter of 2020. I'm going to harp on this so that it becomes easier to understand. And when we speak about financial services, perhaps this is the reason of our greatest pride, because our team performed incredible work. We had 1.1 million card applications only in the third quarter 20. This figure is 18 times higher than the third quarter of 319. And we should underscore that we're in a very important moment for this line item. Only the figures of the third quarter 20 represent 70% of the total number of card applications since we began this operation in January of 2019. Therefore, we're very enthusiastic. Credit cards enables us to increase the recurrence of our company, increases the number of users that enter our app and the site. They refer friends to our product. Therefore, this is a business that is doing very well, and we're very enthusiastic about coming quarters. I would now like to give the floor to Lucas to speak about the highlights of the third quarter. Lucas is a brother, a partner, and director of operations, and he will explain the coming two slides. A good day to all of you. As Israel mentioned, it's an immense pleasure to be here. We began to invest very early on, and we were always on the other side listening to the calls. And now it is an immense pleasure to be here in our own call. We're going to continue to explain to you that when we decided to begin with a credit card in 2019, evidently our idea was not to only have credit cards. Credit cards were a way to test if we could offer financial services to our users, if they would adhere and enjoy these financial services, and if we would be able to grow this customer base. The results were exceptional, as mentioned by Israel. We observe exponential growth, and this gave us the confidence and the numbers we needed to bring up other partners. During the roadshow, we clearly said that these were our next steps. And after the third quarter, it's very evident that we have already taken these steps. We launched the partnerships that you observe on the screen with Banco Pan, with Creditas, Porto Seguro, and others. And although the initial results are still a pilot, we haven't spent any money on marketing with these partnerships. It's a simple experience that has given us a great deal of enthusiasm, and we're convinced that in coming years, financial services will be as important as all the other services we offer. And as Israel mentioned, we were able to grow the number of services we offered in our customer base, of course, maintaining the quality that we have had since inception. We're always going to speak about culture in these calls. It's part of our efficiency. And we have two points related to customers, lifelong customers, and the win-win-win concept. We work here according to the highest levels of quality, the RA 1000 certificate, and we're always very concerned with the quality of our apps. We go on to the next slide, and some people perhaps will feel bored because we're going to keep speaking about culture. We think this is of the essence. Another point I would like to highlight is that nothing is impossible. This was the motto for our kickoff this year. That in January, much before the pandemic, and then the pandemic came about to make things even worse. But despite the pandemic, we were able to grow, but to grow with EBITDA and an incredible margin as well. Additionally, focusing almost on the impossible, because we have an excellent team. Melius has the Great Place to Work certificate, and we looked at the ranking of the best companies to work in Brazil, and we are the best in Manaus in Amazon. We are the third in the company in Minas Gerais. We were selected as a top 35 for women to work in Brazil, and we can still improve this figure. And as we have promised, we're going to make this an ongoing process with 48% of our team focusing on product development. And with the IPO, we are going to grow in technology. We're hiring people, but of course, the focus is on quality. 33% of our development team have master's and doctorate degrees. And in the third quarter, despite all the growth, we maintained the same number of employees. We can grow with a great deal of efficiency. Obviously, this team will be expanded, especially the technology one, but with the same focus on technology. Very well, I return the floor to Israel. Thank you, Lucas. And let's go on to the next slide where we show you the user base evolution. As mentioned in the first slide of key takeaways, we're growing very, very speedily. Our customer base year on year, the growth was 39% with new accounts open. But perhaps a special highlight is active users in the last 12 months. We grew a great deal even in these unprecedented times. We were able to accelerate the number of active users. And of course, our enthusiasm is enormous. The more users in our ecosystem, the greater the opportunities of doing cross-selling, making the credit card holders buy from the marketplace and offering them financial services. They were already accustomed to buy in our marketplace, and they can now hire financial services through our ecosystem. We go on to the next slide where we refer to the marketplace GMV. I reinforce that idea of the mismatch once again. We had a growth of 40% in the GMV in the third quarter 20 vis-a-vis the third quarter 19. And this GMV for the third quarter 20 to once again speak about mismatch will be reflected in the revenues for the fourth quarter 20. And the revenues of this third quarter mainly refers to a GMV for the second quarter 2020. Once again, I underscore this point. As we work in e-commerce, we do have that revenue mismatch, which is different from our marketplace partners that have the revenue on the same month as the GMV. Please remember this when carrying out your analysis. And in the last 12 months, the GMV with a growth of 55% vis-a-vis the same period last year. We're extremely enthusiastic for coming quarters. A special highlight when we speak about credit cards, our quarterly figure compared year on year, a growth of 18 times vis-a-vis the third quarter 19. This is a spectacular moment for credit cards. And the approval rates continue at levels of the third quarter 19. We have expanded the number of cards requested with the same approval levels. As you can see, these cards become active very quickly. It's important to reinforce this. In terms of accrued figures, we have 1.6 million cards ending the third quarter 2020, representing 70% of the total cards requested since the beginning of the operation of the Melius card only in the third quarter. What happened that in the third quarter, this movement began in the second quarter and became stronger in the third quarter, and I spoke a great deal about this in the roadshow and in our prospects. As all products and services launched by Melius, we have a line which is very important, which is test. We always begin a new product, launching the product with a reduced user base. We run several tests. We learn about the figures, the economics. We enhance everything. We deploy new features, new operations for the credit card as a whole, and then we take bigger steps to broaden our customer base for more users to test our product. This is how we build products at Melius. In the second quarter of 2020, as you can observe, after a great deal of tests during a year, we were able to implement relevant enhancements in the credit card operation and in conversion levels, and the result was fourfold higher than the first quarter of this year. We began a very good enhancement in the second quarter. In the third quarter, besides launching even more improvements in the card and in the operation, we were able to optimize acquisition channels and acquisition channels for new users. This generated spectacular results, which have already been mentioned, that growth of 18x year-on-year in this area. What I would also like to mention is that our credit card operation and all branded operation gives us positive revenue on day zero. When the customer applies for the card, we already have a margin in this operation, differently from other credit card operations that begin with a deficit on day zero and take years to have this pay off. In the case of Melius, we already have revenues on day zero with the activation of new cards and the revenues that refer to interchange and the use of the card throughout the month. It's extremely important to mention this because it's a business line that is already generating revenues in this month. We now go on to the slide where we refer to net revenue. We had an increase of 15% of net revenue when we compare the third quarter 2020 with the third quarter 2019, highly impacted, as mentioned before, by the travel and tourism partners who lost 93% of the business, as you can see in the graph. In the second quarter, a significant drop, and the revenues of the third quarter reflect the GMV of the second quarter. The slowdown of our revenue, we consider this as a non-recurrent slowdown because we have already seen in the GMV of the third quarter that this is improving not only for travel and tourism, but for our other business lines. Other important points that I would like to reiterate about revenue. The large marketplaces and brick-and-mortar retailers slowdown in the first 2 months of the second quarter. They had a slowdown in commissions, in the dissemination of campaigns, and some of them because of the uncertainties of the moment. And this is what Melius did in the first months. We stopped with our marketing campaigns to see which would be the market dynamic, and then we resumed everything, and we observed the same with the partners. Now, they stopped or reduced the number of campaigns carried out in the first 2 months of the second quarter because of logistical and operational deficiencies that they faced when there was this sudden increase of demand at the end of May or beginning of June. Some stores wanted to slow down because there was a delay in delivery, and they wanted to render excellent and quality services to users. And throughout the months, they have been able to redress all of these operations, and they're more adjusted to the new economic moment. And we already observe an improvement here. If we look at the first 9 months of this year vis-à-vis 2019, there is a 43% growth in net revenue. And it's also important to mention that this was a year where we truly focused on EBITDA. We were able to deliver a growth of active users, open accounts, and a growing revenue in the first 9 months of the year with a growth of 43%. Another point that appeared often during the roadshow, and for those who did not participate in the roadshow or did not have access to the prospect during the pandemic, there was a moment of new buyers, the first purchase in e-commerce. And several people asked us if this would have a positive impact on Melius in the short term. The answer is no. If there is, well, of course, there is a positive impact on e-commerce. This is highly positive for Melius, but modules such as those of Melius Smart Purchasing require an additional level of education, and the user receives this education when carrying out the new transaction. The new entrants that made their purchases during the pandemic represent an incredible opportunity that we can continue to explore during coming quarters and years. Doubtlessly, they are consumers that will know this intelligent buying model and will begin using the cashback, the discount in their purchases. And these are the consumers that we want, as always, in the coming quarters. We go on to the EBITDA presentation. This was the goal of the year. We're extremely satisfied with the work that we have performed. We have a margin of 30% in the first 9 months of 2020, vis-à-vis a 16% margin in the first 9 months of 2019, a growth of almost 170% year-on-year, pointing to the fact that we have a business that can truly stand alone, create recurrence among the users, and that the users are passionate for the system. But we also have a good bottom line. This business makes sense. As Lucas reinforced, during the coming quarters and coming 2 years, we do intend to make investments to grow more speedily. We have done this in the past, and we seek the best acquisition channels, bringing them in an accelerated fashion, and we're going to repeat this by investing during the coming quarters and years to have a speedier growth. We now go on to the last slide to complement what I have already mentioned, our plan for the coming quarters. First of all, to grow our active users base. We will be making new investments in new channels, constantly enhancing our product. Product improvements are essential for the growth of the business. When we speak about growth, contrary to what other organizations believe, growth is not the acquisition of new users. It also means retaining your users. And for this, we need to have a highly qualified team that will create new products, properly measure the products we launch to the market, and to maintain the users' content. This is what has allowed Melius to grow in the last 10 years. We are going to launch new products to bolster higher levels of engagement from our customer base. Some of our users are in a beta test for the charging of their mobile phones. They will be able to do this through the Melius app, and this is a service with very high recurrence. This will lead to a higher level of engagement of users and a more efficient cross-selling. We will also begin to sell gift cards for delivery services and gift cards for the companies such as Uber and others. We're very enthusiastic with these two features. They are features that will bring about a great deal of engagement in terms of our app, and we hope to deliver excellent results in terms of engagement and active users. Lucas referred to the launch of new products, new partnerships and financial services. We will continue to fasten our space. Our team is working on several features in terms of financial services, and we want to grow our user base. Our user base is adherent to financial services, but we want to do this in a very qualified way, and our core is the acquisition and retention of users, and I think we will be able to do it as well as we do it in the marketplace in financial services. Finally, we will continue to grow our technology and development team, always with a focus on quality, but without forgetting what is more important to us, which is our culture. We will not hire people that are not aligned with our values. We want to bring in people who will be with us in the long term, that are aligned with us in terms of culture. And this is a significant competitive edge that will make a difference in the companies that will be winners in the next 20 or 30 years. Thank you very much. That is my last slide. I would now like to give the floor to Luciano for the question and answer session. Thank you. Thank you. And I do believe the operator will collect the questions and we will respond them here. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now go on to the question and answer session. Should you wish to pose a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star two. Our first question is from Marco Calvi from Itaú BBA. Good morning, and it's really wonderful to speak to you at this special moment for the company. I have a doubt regarding your user base. You spoke in great details, and you spoke a great deal about the increase you had this quarter. I would like to gain an understanding if this user that made this growth happen in the third quarter 20, if they have different features, if on the average their consumption will be different from what you already have in the user base. if this user, this new user, will lead to a generation of GMV and will have a monetization that is very similar to what you already have in your user base. Thank you. Thank you, Marcos. And a very quick remark. I will also allow André to add something if he deems it necessary. Up to present, our growth, and this is a recurrent question that we received during the roadshow. Now, our growth, when you look at the credit card and marketplace separately, we have been attaining similar user bases. The marketplace grows with a user with a similar behavior. The average ticket is constant. It grows constant. And we were able to implement growth by maintaining the cohort and economic data that you are already aware of. The same holds true for the credit card. During the presentation, I tried to underscore that the levels of approval remain constant despite the acceleration, the average tickets, the conversion rates after the activation throughout the months, without great differences. If André wants to add something and give you relevant information, I will give him the floor. André is our strategy director. Thank you. And a good day to all of you. In line with what was said by Israel, the harvest of users since the last few years, when we separate these profiles and analyze them according to the channel through which they come on board, we see that the cohorts have maintained their behavior. Now, having said that, the user that is coming in because of the marketplace has had the same behavior of activation and other items as others. And the credit card per se has become a significant door of entry for other users. And the credit card has maintained the profile, the approval of purchases with the credit card. So these are two doors of entry for two types of users, one coming from the marketplace and everything has been maintained. And the user base that has come in through the credit card, people that we know less, but that also have that peculiarity. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very clear. The next question is from Tomas Pereira from BTG. A good morning, everybody. Tomas Pereira, and congratulations for your results. I have two questions. The first, if we look at your GMV and we exclude tourism, if you agree that the GMV is growing 60% year on year, if you could also remark, which will be the evolution in the fourth quarter 20 as the number of active users has undergone an acceleration. And if you could give us more detail about the new users, which are the main drivers that helped you to speed up your user base? The second question, if you could give us more color on your financial services that were launched. I think most of them are in a pilot stage. Which are the products with which partners, and which are the economics of these partnerships? If you have an estimate for 2021 that you can share with us, although these are pilot projects, the cards that you launched at the end of the year, for example, with a huge ramp up. And I think this year they will give you at least 10 million in revenues. You do have other initiatives. So do you think that your revenue pool will be similar? Thank you. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for the questions. To speak from the back forward, speak about the new partnerships. We do not intend to give you guidance and speak about the expectation we have with the partnerships. What we can guarantee, as we said during the call, is that we have teams constantly following up on the development of these new partners, and that the main word for us is test. We test everything. We measure down to the most minute detail the partnerships. We do the A and B tests in all senses for the acquisition of users who have purchased financial services or niches that we have in these financial services. The communications we send out by email, push, or SMS. This is what, through time, will make this operation a winner or not. I will request a bit of patience so that throughout the coming quarters, we can further develop these new products that we are developing and that have given us a great deal of enthusiasm. We still need to do our homework, and at the right time, we will offer you the figures with greater assertiveness. We don't want to give you a figure that will generate a guidance that will not be confirmed in coming quarters. We will divulge these figures at the right time. Regarding the users, the credit card, this acceleration in credit card was perhaps greatly responsible for the increase of our new user base and active users. We set up a channel for user acquisition through an exceptional funnel. As we mentioned in the roadshow, the modeling that we had done were perfectly aligned with this. We're discussing our expectations in terms of the data that has just been delivered for credit cards, and we intend to maintain high levels for coming quarters. To speak about e-commerce marketplace, the marketplace stream, we're going to do the same that we did with the credit cards, which means improving our conversion funnels ever more for the entry of users, acquisition channels. We're reinforcing our team for the acquisition and retention of users. When we speak of user retention, we also refer to technology that will create new products, guarantee our users will buy ever more, and work with cross-selling. This is what you can expect in the coming quarters, more investments in that direction. That's what we did with credit cards. We accelerated the number of users, and we will do the same in marketplace. To speak about GMV, I will allow André to respond to this question. With the exclusion of the travel and tourism segment, and perhaps it's worthwhile speaking about the other verticals that had an impact so we can clarify the difference between GMV, travel and tourism, and the other business sectors that were impacted. Now, regarding the third quarter and excluding travel and tourism, we come very close to the figure that you presented and other categories. Some continue to exist, but as Israel mentioned in the call, the great impact we observed was a reduction in terms of incentives among our partners, not impacting the GMV, but perhaps the revenues. Now, to speak about the fourth quarter, travel and tourism still not close to resuming what we had forecast last year. Although we do observe a growth that was shown in the presentation, the resumption is far from what it was in 2019. In other categories, what we feel in November with the Black Friday looming is that this growth will be very strong, and We will have figures to be able to share with you, but there is a clear resumption of other categories, a consistent resumption.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please press star one.
Luciano, perhaps you could organize the questions we received from the webcast so that we can respond to them. Yes, we did receive several questions. The first block of questions referring to credit. I will read the question first. The first question from Lucas. Good morning. Congratulations for the company. Thinking about the mismatch between GMV and revenue, which is the ratio for credit cards? 70% for the third quarter when they are activated and begin to generate revenues. The second question, along the same lines, a question about financial services. If we could speak in greater detail about the new partnerships for financial services, new financial services.
Allow me a minute. In terms of the partnerships, I gave the answer to Thomas. We're working, testing a great deal, and we're going to continue this way. Sorry for the interruption. Well, in terms of the question, we generally have an activation of the cards that are requested in 4 or 5 months after the month of request until the approval of the card. There is this delay, but most of the cards are activated in M+1, the following month, especially the cards from September have still not had an impact on revenue because they're getting to the home of the user and they still have not been unblocked. They can activate it in up to 6 months, as we mentioned, but most of the activation takes part in 1 or 2 months as of the date of request and approval of the card with an impact on our DPV. And to reinforce the figures, what we disclose in terms of GMV, these are exclusive for Marketplace. They do not include the DPV data for the credit card. I did want to underscore this.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we would like to end the question and answer session. We will return the floor to Israel Salman for his closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for those who remain to the end. Once again, we're extremely enthusiastic with that feeling of day one. Our team is also very enthusiastic. This is one more opportunity that I have to communicate with the team and explain how we're doing. Thank you for all the Melios team, and let us go forward to the coming quarters and years. We're just at the beginning. Thank you very much. The Melios conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your participation. Have a good afternoon. Thank you.